It's Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up out there, Kiss Army?
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
We want information. 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 Who are you? The new number two. Who is number one? You are number six. I am not a number. I am a free man.
Why am I feel?
That was The Prisoner, so it's the song The Prisoner by Iron Maiden, but it's taken the TV show The Prisoner.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a dork. A long time.
You're not a dork. Anyway, thank you for listening to Podcast Rock City. We are a 100% Kiss podcast, except when we're not, of course. And, we always stray off into some bullshit in the middle
of the show. It's like 60-40 tops.
Yeah, oh
like,
yeah.
Like, how many times have Doro and Party Mix been mentioned on this show?
Well, we're here to talk about our favorite band, Kiss, and your favorite band, Kiss. And, thanks for listening to the last show. We have a lot going on. We'll tell you about it as the show goes on. But first, before we get started, let's do the news. I didn't see a whole lot, but one of the things that I did see today as I was walking around the...
was huge.
Yeah, the pinball... I went to a pinball expo. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But I did get a little ding on my phone with some news, and the headline just says, Paul Stanley rules out Ace Frehley returning to Kiss. Now, I know this goes about, against what we've been saying, we've been hearing. So, and once again, Jody, you say your line. I'll believe it.
I'll believe it when I hear that shit.
I'll believe it when I see it. Right. So, even though we've been told that Ace is going back into Kiss, our mantra is still, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
And, what do you guys think? You think he's just covering up because it got out, or?
I mean, who knows? But, I mean, I could see him if they already are planning something that he wouldn't want to leak it until they're ready to leak it, you know?
Right.
But, I just can't see it happening, man. And I know our sources are pretty cool, and they probably know what they're talking about, but it just seems so far-fetched. You know?
Right, and even their source is cool.
Yeah.
So this is where it's really bizarre, man. It's like, he came right out and said, nope.
How cool would it be to say... Adam and Dez were sitting around having a few, and they just came up with this idea. Let's start a rumor and see how far it goes. Next thing you know, Paul's denying it. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too.
And I would not put it past those fellas. You know, that's a great idea, and that gets everybody talking, and that's cool. So who knows?
Sons of bitches. I wonder if I bit. Did I bite? I wonder if I bit.
I don't know, but even if you did, it's cool because now we have a new topic.
Adam, all of a sudden I feel like there's a hook, and it went in my mouth and through my eye. And they've got me, and they can't throw me back.
You're a keeper.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see. We've got months, I'm sure. The tour hasn't even started yet.
Yep.
Okay, so let me tell you the story about today, about me going. I went to a pinball convention, and it's pinball and video game. There's about 250 video games there and pinball machines. It was amazing. I had a great time, and if you guys follow Podcast Rock City on Facebook, you'll see I did a video and showed pretty much the entire thing. I'll tell you something that was really awesome, man. You remember the movie The Last Starfighter?
Yeah.
The dude that was, like, playing the video game, and then he gets sucked up to become, fight with the aliens. He was there, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And the reason why it was really cool for me was because he played the oldest Brody son in Jaws the Revenge. The one where, he's working on the ocean with Mario Van Peebles, I think is his name. Anyway, I'm a huge Jaws fanatic, so I saw him there, and it was pretty cool. It was super exciting. Here's the thing that was really sucky about the pinball convention, which was there were no Kiss pinball machines. Like, I that was immediately what I went looking for. They had all of your, you know, specific ones, you know, your Earth, I think it's called Earthquake, and your Whirlwind and Spider-Man and the Playboy one from back in the day and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then all the video games that you could play. So no Kiss. So I'm wandering around, and of course I run into this one guy who's got a Gene Simmons shirt on. I go, no Kiss pinball machines? He goes, I don't care. I have one at home. I said, one of the new ones? He goes, yeah. I go, what did that cost? He's like, $8,000. Like, he said $8,000. Like, I have that in my pocket. So aggravating. Anyway, so, yeah. So I'm looking around. Somebody counting money?
I don't know what that was. We got another ghost whale thing happening.
Sweet. Anyway, as Andrew going, I have $8,000 right here.
Totally.
It sounded like money counting. That's awesome.
Yes,
okay.
No, or else I would be doing something else right now. I'm getting ignored.
So half the time I'm there, you know, and I stayed there for 4 hours. I just basically played the traditional things that I played when I was a kid. Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, you know, all the good stuff. Robotron, right. Man, I had a good time. And then I come across this Godzilla pinball machine.
Okay.
And I'd never seen anything like this because the playing field was a computer screen. There was no actual pinball stuff in there. It was just a computer screen.
But did it look like it had depth, or was it just like,
yeah,
some Atari, yes, pinball?
No, it looked real. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'll post pictures on Facebook so people can see it, and I tried to shoot a little video, but I had some issues. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I grab my son because he's a huge Godzilla fan. I go, let's play this Godzilla game. He goes, okay. We're standing there, and the lady next to us goes, you know, this machine has Godzilla on it too, but the screen was different. So she showed me that you could toggle through all the different pinball machines that are loaded in there. So I said to Jace, let's find Godzilla. We're scrolling through, and lo and behold, boom, the traditional original Kiss pinball machine is in this machine. It's just a computer, you know, a computer screen. So I'm like, let's look at what else is on here. So we're scrolling through, and all of a sudden, boom, there is a Scooby-Doo and Kiss pinball machine.
That's awesome.
Which was totally, you know, it had Scooby-Doo and Kiss on the cover and on the front glass, and then on the playing table, it had their characters, you know, drawn out with Tommy Thayer in there. Cool. You know what? I'm not going to lie. I did notice Paul, and I did notice Gene, but I can't say that I noticed Tommy Thayer or Eric. I'll have to go back and look. But it was still pretty cool. So we played a little bit, and the music was the same, you know, with the bong, 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 bong.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
So what was the Scooby one like? I mean, I haven't even heard that they did anything like that.
Yeah, I never heard this until I saw it. It was just a, you know, it was a pretty good pinball machine. I think I did some video of it, and it's on, where is it? I shot the video, and I'll put it on Facebook today. And I'll try to put it on Twitter. I don't know if it'll let me put it that much on Twitter. But anyway, so it was a lot of fun, man. It was pretty cool. I was excited that I did get to play Kiss Pinball, and I got to play a Scooby machine, which I'd never even heard of.
Right? Didn't you say that you could buy that whole machine for how much?
$8,000. And I would say there was, I don't know how many pinball machines in there. I would say anywhere between, it felt like I scrolled through about 100, but I bet there was more like 200 or 300 pinball machines on there. Now, and that one of this crazy thing is I got a buddy who's selling a 1970s or early 1980s Hulk pinball machine. And I've been talking to him about getting it because I would love to have a pinball machine in the house. And sure enough, I'm scrolling through, and his damn pinball machine is on the the glass, you know, and the screen. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, man, you know. And I'm going to write him and go, dude, your price has to go down.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could buy 100 pinball machines for $8,000. What does that come out to per machine? $80? Something like that. So, yeah, we're going to... How about $80? No, I'm kidding.
You find it kind of odd that they wouldn't have the new Kiss pinball, like the Stern one there, or even just in the in this virtual thing you're talking about?
I don't know, man. Maybe Stern owns it, and whatever company this was went to Bally's and
said, yeah.
Look, can we buy what it looks like? You know, I'm just surprised that another company hasn't put it out for something, you know? For whatever system, game system, or, you know, I would have... I mean, they came out with the PlayStation, right?
Kiss pinball. That was lame, though, man.
It was lame because you had to change screen when the ball...
It was even probably worse than that freaking Psycho Circus game they had. That one was terrible, too.
It was, but at least with Paul's... At least Paul and Gene's voices were real.
Right.
When in the Scooby-Doo game, when they were playing Rock and Roll... Detroit Rock City... It definitely was not Paul Stanley singing.
Huh.
Which was kind of unusual. But, you know, this has happened before. Remember those, what were they? They were like Paul Stanley. They were like those little robots that you push the button and they move. And one of them sang Beth and one of them sang God of Thunder. Right. You know, but that wasn't the band. That was somebody else singing the songs for them.
Maybe that's how they're going to introduce 2.0. That was the new Paul.
As little robots. You know him from the Scooby-Doo pinball game.
Right.
Now he's the new Star Child.
Star Child.
Star Child. Man, did you ever see this? Somebody figured out that in some anime movie, there's like... It's very popular, and it's these four girls, and they're regular girls, and then they turn into their superheroes. And if you watch it back to back with the Kiss one, it's like totally ripped off, exactly the same.
Oh yeah, like on the scene on the Scooby things that we're talking about.
Yeah, where they go to change their costumes. You know,
yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes.
That's one of my favorite scenes, and it's totally. It must be the same people that did it. That must have gone. Hey, let's just redo this and put the demon in there and
save time and money, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
You already know.
Yep.
Podcast Rock City.
Okay, so Andrew came up with a really great topic. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but we hadn't been able to do it, so we're going to jump into it today. And Andrew said, what do you guys think about doing a show where we pick the songs that we would put in Kiss My Ass 2 and who would sing them. So, like, Garth Brooks sang Hard Luck Woman, you know, and Anthrax did theirs, you know what I'm saying? So if we were to pick songs and artists to do our own album, what would it be? And hell yeah, this is a great topic. We're going to let Andrew pick what we talk about every week from now on.
He is the original idea man.
He is.
You're too much.
So whatever. It's true. You always come up with great ideas. So, you know, this is really cool. And before we get started, if you're out there listening, I want you to send us your list of five songs and five artists that doing those songs. And next week, I'll read as many of them as I can so we can compare our list to yours. If we get one, we'll read it. If we get 10, we'll read it. That's fine. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And it's just that easy. He left off the G string.
I refuse to say that after listening to that again. Just no.
Just never I'm going to say G string.
Never again.
Never again. Anyway, so.
You sound like such a fucking tool. Anywho, sorry.
I like it.
All right, so let's talk about our lists. Now, my list, because I listen, I don't know how it's going to compare to everybody else's, because I famously listen to all types of music, not just rock or metal. I listen to pop, and I listen to, I mean, you name it. You know, you will catch me listening to a Britney Spears album as much or as often as you will anything else. It's the weirdest thing about me. Some of my buddies are always like, I love how I just caught you teaching Beat It to a student. Did he ask for it? I go, no, I just want to teach Beat It for the
day. That's a fucking awesome riff.
Yeah. It is, man. Well, you know, there's a few different versions, too. You know, there's the Fallout Boy did a
rock. Dude, I love that, too.
Yeah, they did a rockin' version with John Mayer on lead guitar. He did the solo.
He's a tool. I don't like
He is. But, man, he smokes on the guitar, dude.
He does. Yeah,
he does. Can't take it away from him. Anyway, all right. So, let's talk about our list. Who wants to go first? Andrew, you should go first because I'm really excited about hearing yours.
Are we going
to
do just one? Like, each guy will do one? Just kind of go
yeah.
around?
Okay. You like yeah, that I like idea? That.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Okay. Andrew, you go first.
Well, sorry, I'm just grabbing. I actually wrote it down because I probably remember it, but... And we also said a couple of weeks ago we're going to just make it a bit of a fantasy element in the sense that...
They can like, be living or dead.
Yeah. Like, mine isn't too ridiculous. Like, for my first one, like, he passed away in December, but I got Motorhead with Rip It Out.
Yeah.
Now, okay,
I really wasn't sure if we were excluding solo albums or not, because it's a little bit of a different time period now than the original Kiss My Ass.
Kiss My Ass,
sense
right.
That they're embracing everything from every era of Kiss nowadays, especially on the cruise. So I just figured I figured this would be a great song, but Lemmy, I cannot. This is the perfect song for him to cover. I can't picture him covering another Kiss song.
And
like
you know,
this.
When I'm sitting here, like, thinking about his voice singing it, it would have been awesome.
And just, like, fucking Mickey D would smoke that drum interlude right before the solo. Like, I can just see him doing that. And then Phil Campbell coming in with his own solo. Like, I honestly think that's the perfect song. And, like, that'd be a great opener for... I doubt... Like, there's no way in hell Paul would let them open with an Ace song, but I think that would be a really smoking opener. So this is just for my fantasy one. So
well,
yeah, I'm going with Motorhead, Rip It Out.
That is very good. What do you think, Jody?
I think it would be pretty cool. I'd love to hear something like that, you know. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Dang, man, I wish I'd have thought of that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, Jody, you go.
Before I get started, I want to just kind of mention, it was really hard for me to come up with this list because, you guys know, I listen to mostly just kind of underground punk rock shit, and I didn't want to pick those kind of bands necessarily because I wanted you guys to kind of know what I was talking about, you know what I mean? And our listeners, because I didn't think that a lot of my picks, they'd go, well, I don't know what that sounds like, so I don't know if that would work. So I kind of tried to pick more mainstream choices. So anyways.
Thank you. Because I probably wouldn't get a lot of them.
And I figured most people wouldn't, so I kind of had
no
to go more.
No offense to your music, but no, yeah, man, there's a lot know. Of grindcore and black metal bands that nobody would know what the fuck I'm talking about, too.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because I kind of thought that that's where you were going to go, too, and I was thinking, man, no one's going to know any of our choices.
Yeah. Well, no, I went pretty mainstream
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry.
So that being said, my first pick was Talk to Me, the classic Talk to Me. Done by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hell yeah, man. Joan Jett has always kind of been my, like, I always thought of her as kind of a female Ace Frehley. And I just think that she could, this is her style, and it's her vocal style, and she has that kind of accent. I think she would kill it. So.
I like that. I'm going to write her. I'm going to tell her she needs to cover it.
That's
and
funny
she's
how we
famous
both
for covers, you know?
Track.
Yeah, yeah.
That is kind of interesting, huh?
That's a good one, man. Shit, man, I didn't throw Joan Jett in my list. I'm upset about it. Okay, all right. So I'm going to tell you, my first song is Hide Your Heart.
Okay.
Now, I always...
Bonnie
I thought
Tyler.
To my, huh?
By Bonnie Tyler.
Exactly. Now... Hide Your Heart is kind of a story, you know? They're telling a story, and I thought, you really need a storyteller to sing that song. So I picked Bruce Springsteen to do it.
I get what you're saying about the storytelling.
Catch me there. Johnny's all rotten on the streetcar named
Desire.
Come on, man. He can totally
boy, where'd you get that necklace?
Damn, Joe, you got a pretty good Springsteen. Let's hear a little more. I'm going to hear the part about Tito. How's he going to say Tito was the king of the streets?
Tito! He was king of the streets!
Tito, king of the streets!
What's that song that they did that ripped off I Was Made for Loving You?
Who?
Bruce Springsteen.
I don't know. I'm not a big Springsteen guy, really.
Did you know technically my first concert was Bruce Springsteen?
Wow.
Really? My mom was pregnant, and yeah, she went to a Springsteen concert.
Cool. I mean, I think he's all right, but I don't own a single Springsteen record or anything like that.
I don't own a single Springsteen song.
He's cool, but he's a little too preachy. And
Yeah.
But I could totally see that what you're saying, though, would fit his whole thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's his whole shebang is
telling stories about the hard. Yeah. All right, Andrew, you are next. God, I hope I do better. You guys are kicking my ass.
Well, now I sound like a prick for sort of shit on your choice.
No, you
That's
didn't.
How I meant, but you know.
Whatever. Go ahead. Go to the next one.
Now, I'm cheating a bit because we didn't say no repeats, but it's technically a different lineup, a radically, not radically different because it's only one member change, but I thought he would, like, this would be the perfect song, like, for him to sing too. So I got Anthrax, Unholy, but in this era, Joey Belladonna's back in the band. So I honestly think they would slay that, but just Unholy, like, just, you know, like, whenever he's had, like, a really high pitch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like NFL or songs like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, and I'm a Belladonna fan, so I like the Anthrax as well, but I don't know, with Belladonna in the band, it's different.
You see, so you're a Bush, you're in the Bush camp, aren't you?
I like them, you know, I like that, but I prefer the original Anthrax sound. Anthrax, now, let me ask you this, did Anthrax do a song on the last one?
They did.
She,
yeah.
Yeah! Man, I would put them on. Oh, man, they could have done so many things.
So would you want me to change my choice, or is that still kosher?
No, that's kosher. That's okay, good. Cool. I would use Anthrax in every album. They're just that awesome.
And Scott Ian in the middle of Beth, he just yells, War Dance!
War Dance! Yeah. That's awesome. All right, Jody, your turn.
All right. This time I picked Almost Human, a song that I love, one of my favorite Gene songs, in fact. And I think I originally was thinking that I would have Metallica do it, right? But then I thought, well, let's go back to like James's vocal source, and I'm picking Glenn Danzig doing Almost Human.
Ooh.
I think he would rock it, dude. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I think that's a little too samba-y for him, but if they tune it down, you know, like if they tune it down and just make it a little more sludgy, then yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but
that's
like his vocal style and the subject matter kind of fits Danzig's whole thing and
Almost a Man.
Yeah. maybe drop out a little bit of the conga, you know, but
just a bit.
I switched to Geico and
there's a commercial.
Stop watching porn while we're doing this.
Right.
No, it wasn't porn. It was a Geico commercial. Anyway, yeah, all right.
Oh, there's an ad. Anyway.
Glenn Danzig.
Just Danzig in general.
Oh, yeah. Danzig. Okay.
United Danzig?
No, since it's fantasy, I was thinking, you know, just the original lineup, John Christ, Erie Vaughn, Chuck Biscuits, Danzig, you know, like about from around 87.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of The Hunter, which is kind of bluesy and kind of in the same vein, have him do Almost Human.
It's still a good choice. All right, listen, but we're going to stop right here for a second. I want you guys to hear this, okay?
Yeah.
Remember, and this we can't put into the show, but you know how we were talking? I was telling you about the Bruce Springsteen song?
Yeah.
All right. I was finding it.
Podcast Rock City.
I Was Made for Loving You. They just do.
Yeah.
They left out the last couple of notes.
Let me ask you.
Sounded like that Beatles song at the beginning. Fucking Father McKenzie.
Oh, Eleanor Rigby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
A little bit. Yeah.
But okay. When did that Springsteen? What's the date?
I didn't.
Was it pre or did
it's maybe post? Yeah, it's. It's post-Dynasty. All right, I'll go for my third song. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sorry I threw us off.
No, that's cool.
Better be.
All right, we'll just cut that out. All right, so my second song, I've mentioned on here 100 times that I would love somebody to do I Still Love You R&B. Okay. And I picked R. Kelly, just like I always pick R. Kelly. Because, you know, I can totally see,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that could be a ballad. It could be an R&B song, you know?
Oh, totally. You know? I would have picked Usher, though, instead.
Usher, ah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think of, you know, somebody pooping on somebody. It's just R. Kelly.
No, he peed on somebody.
He peed on somebody? I thought it was pooping.
No, he didn't fling it at it. No, he just peed on some people on stage.
Oh, have mercy. Anyway, R. Kelly, I Was Made for Loving You. I know how you guys feel about that because we've talked about it. Let's move on to the next one.
I could see it, though. I mean,
Oh, yeah. All right, Mr. Kiss, you are next.
I have Miss Lady Gaga doing A Million to One in the style of like a Born This Way type like beat.
So it's very poppy.
Yeah.
And she's a huge Kiss fan.
Mm-hmm, so I thought it'd be perfect.
Wow, that's... Man.
Hmm.
I think that would work.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and that would make it a million seller. Let me tell you, I firmly believe that if Kiss said, hey, you want to be on this record, she would do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's a big Kiss fan.
Can any of you guys do what it would sound like?
Baby, now that you made up your mind. Oh, I can't do a Lady Gaga.
That was enough. Thank you. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you're welcome, world.
All right, Jody, you're next.
All right. Well, this was the last one of the like most mainstream ones I could think of, but I was thinking maybe Mr. Speed, right? Another song that I love.
Fuck you.
Oh my god, if you guys pick the same band or artist, I'm gonna freak out. Alright, here we go.
Well, I have alternates, dude. You want me to pick a different
one? No, that's cool. No, this Sorry. Is exciting. I'm excited about this because I want to see who's okay. next.
Well, I was thinking like the Black Crowes when they sounded kind of like around the time of their second record, Southern Harmony musical companion.
Black Crowes.
Because the song is so Stonesy. And the Black Crowes are very Stonesy as well.
Yeah, they're basically the Stones.
Yeah, and I could have said the Stones, but I'd rather hear the Black Crowes do it. I think it'd be cool. So yeah, pick Mr. Speed, Black Crowes.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I like that idea. Let's see, my third one was Rob Zombie doing War Machine.
Hmm, I could hear him do that.
He uses a lot of modulation on his voice. Yeah. So I think that'd be perfect.
Yeah. You know, I loved Rob Zombie doing...
God of Thunder.
God of Thunder, man. That was so good. God of Thunder, yeah!
Yeah.
And who was in that band? Scott Ian. Thank you very much. Oh, and Ace Frehley.
Slash.
Who's apparently not going to be in Kiss, no matter what people tell us.
That'd be funny if they had his makeup altered. You're right there, cowboy.
Sorry, buddies. I'll edit that out.
Edit that out.
Oh, fuck.
Here, save. Make sure you save the thing where Andrew and I are making fun of you, coughing.
I will.
Yeah, imagine like a cover of Sweet Leaf, but just instead of that cough at the beginning, they just put the Zoolander.
Yeah, perfect. So what were you saying about alternate makeup?
Oh, something stupid said like they altered his makeup to like to fit his goatee.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Just paint the goatee red so it looks like a tongue.
Yeah. Okay, so I had Rob Zombie, War Machine. Andrew, what was your Mr. Speed?
The Who.
The Who!
Really? Yeah.
Look how you guys thought about him, like kind of the same era.
Totally.
That is amazing to me.
Huh.
Yeah, The cool. Who. Yeah, it's now we're all cool. Like hitting a wish list.
Yeah. But let's not count that as Andrew's pick since you got an alternate for it, Andrew?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because no, it didn't come okay.
prepared.
See, I have a big fat list of them because I was like, at first I started thinking of just things that I would think of, and I was like, well, I can't use that, I can't use that.
Jody is an overachiever.
Mm-hmm. You're making us look bad.
Not really, because I did it at like 5 in the morning last Sunday, right before we were supposed to do the damn show. But I was like, fuck, I don't have anything. So I just whipped some out. But anyways, so where are we at? It's my turn again?
Your turn, sir.
This time I'm going to go with Tomorrow of Unmasked. And my original thought was Prince, okay? Because I just think he could kill that. And it's kind of like, have you heard the song?
Kill anything.
Yeah. He kills it. Yeah.
Have you ever heard that song, I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man by Prince? It kind of sounds like Tomorrow a little bit. Same vibe. Kind of power pop. It's pretty awesome. But then I changed it because I think that I would want to hear you guys have heard the Zeros, right? They're well known enough that I could use them.
And, right.
I think that their harmonies and their whole power pop kind of punky thing would totally fit for Tomorrow, and I'd love to hear it.
Wow.
I think Matt Porter would too. Just saying.
I'm going to have to listen to some more of that now.
Yeah, if you've never heard the Zeros, man, just dig up that album. It's called 4321 The Zeros. It's pretty badass. When I first heard of them, my buddy Chris Beauvais, he's like, dude, you got to hear this band, The Zeros. They sound like fucking when Cheap Trick was punk mixed with the Ramones. I was like, it's right up my alley. So it's, you know, they're kind of punky, but they got the power pop harmonies, which would totally work for Tomorrow. So anyways, that's my choice.
I like it a lot. That's a good one. All right, mm-hmm. Let's see. Where am I? Okay, here's my shocker of the day. Forever.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Done by Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't you hear it?
Absolutely.
I was sitting there going... So I'm sitting there writing my list last night, and I'm like, you know, I really want to put a country artist in there. And I'm trying to figure out which country artist to do this song. And Karen goes, you know what would really mess him up? Dolly Parton. I was like, you know, I ain't going to lie. Dolly Parton doing Forever would kick ass.
Better than Kenny Rogers doing Forever.
Yeah. Man, Dolly Parton is another one of those really kick-ass musicians.
Didn't she write And I Will Always Love You?
Yeah, she wrote that song.
Weird.
Yeah, that you know, and then, you know, Whitney Houston came, took it and, you know, made it her own. But I'll never forget the interview with Dolly Parton. They were like, how do you feel about the way she did her song? And she was basically like, my bank account loves it. Because, you know, she got all the right. She kicks ass at guitar, too, from what I hear.
Yeah, and she plays with those crazy long nails.
Long fingernails.
So she does open tunings and bars everything, if you've ever noticed her playing.
Yeah. So, okay, so Dolly Parton Forever was my fourth choice. We're on our final choice, Mr. Andrew.
All right, this is my weirdest one up there, but I am a big fan of the singer, and I want like a symphony in the background, so no guitars, just vary his style. But I got Josh Groban doing Shandy.
Wow,
yeah, that's really out there for a while. I would have never expected that.
Oh yeah, well, I'm a big Groban guy.
Yeah,
huh. Mm-hmm.
I like Ken's version. You heard Ken Mills doing Shandy?
No,
pretty awesome.
I'm gonna have to. Oh, I have heard.
It's on
him
a couple
it.
Different yeah. episodes.
Yeah, that's true. How awesome.
Yeah. I could hear Groban doing it, though. I would have never in a million years thought you would spit that one out, Andrew.
I'm not going to sing a bit of it, if that's what you're wondering. There's no way in hell. No.
We were leading him towards the tunnel.
Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
All right, Jody, what's your fifth one?
Oh, man. My fifth one. I picked Wouldn't You Like to Know Me. Everyone knows. Yes. I freaking love that song. It's just such a great one. Mm. And I couldn't think of anyone that could do it better than, I want to hear the Methadones aren't even a band anymore, but like Dan Vapid, the singer, he's got a new band called Dan Vapid and the Cheats, so I guess they could do it, but he would nail it, dude, and his band would sound exactly like you'd want it to, and it would rule. And he totally missed an opportunity, because about 10 years ago he put out a record that's all just power pop covers of that he liked, and he didn't do this one, and I was very disappointed, so I'd really love to hear it. So now yeah, the Methadones.
Now you gotta write him.
Yeah. I don't think he's much of a Kiss fan.
Ah, that happens. Well, that's a good pick. I'm gonna have to listen to some of that.
If you just want to Google it, they did a great cover of on that same record. They cover Cheap Trick. It sounds exactly like Cheap Trick. They do the records. Sounds just like the records. You know.
Wow.
They do the Jags. It sounds exactly like the Jags, but all like better and more modern production. You know, it's killer, dude.
Right.
The record's called 21st Century Power Pop Riot. A little plug for the Methadones.
Yeah, and I will check it out. All right, my last one and our final pick. Man, you know, I'm really upset because it's so generic, but I had to do it, and it's I Stole Your Love, sung by Skid Row with Sebastian Bach.
I could see it.
Yeah.
They did a cover, right? They did...
They did Come On and Love Me.
Come On and Love Me, yeah.
Dude, whenever I saw it, Slade gave me a free ticket to see Sebastian, I guess it was about a year ago, so I went. And before he came on, the opening band stopped, and all of a sudden, I Want You comes on. I'm like, fucking cool, you know, just on the PA. And then they ended up playing the whole Rock and Roll Over in its entirety, and then he came on. It was fucking awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a huge dude.
Sorry, that's my terrible Sebastian
Bach. Yeah, but he's a big Kiss fan, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when that hurricane went through Jersey and wiped out his house, he made the news by showing the only thing that survived in his house was his autographed Kiss Alive record.
That's awesome.
He was happy about it, too. He's like, this is awesome. I was like, good. And then he moved. I think he moved because he was, tired of bad storms or something, but... Sebastian Bach, I Stole Your Love. Man, this was fun. We got to do this more often.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you guys out there, want to send us your list, 5 songs, 5 artists, send it to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gstring.com. No, gmail.com.
Yeah, you say
I'll say
string.
Gstring,
yeah.
And then you say mail. It'll work out. At gmail.com. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thank you, Andrew, for coming up with that idea. I no will problem. Tell
it's
you.
About time I came up with a fucking idea.
No, whatever. Anyway, let's see. We did get some
Ask Andrew.
I know I got one. I got to find it real quick. I'm sorry. Bear with me.
One of them was, did you watch that Linda Carter thing that you were supposed to watch?
Oh, fuck. I forgot. Damn it. Sorry. I totally forgot all about that.
Okay, so that was our second question. So what we're going
to
do
is... We'll get that to next week, for sure.
We'll go to that next week. So, Alistair Howard from Australia.
Hi, Alistair.
Oh, no, now I got to admit. Okay, he did say from down under. Yes.
G'day, mate.
G'day.
Shrimp on the bar.
Shrimp on the barbie. I'm so terrible at this.
He must be so tired of...
He's probably sitting there going, dumb yikes.
Yeah, I never fucking heard that before.
Here's what he said. He says, love listening to your podcast while working. I have an Ask Andrew question. How different would the Revenge album have sounded if Eric Carr well enough to play on it?
Well, that depends. Would they still go with Ezrin? And would they still have the Vinnie Vincent co-writes? Because I don't think it'd be a hell of a lot different, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that it would be just Eric Carr would be the different thing on it. Everything else would be the same. I agree. I think it would sound the same.
He's written songs before, so I wonder, because he's a big Zeppelin guy, so I wonder how, and he loved Metallica, so I think it could have been even heavier if he ran with what they were going with, because Gene and Paul pretty much wanted to be kind of like the Big Four, because that was... kind of what was in vogue, so I think he really could have ran with it, so I think it could have even been heavier.
Yeah, and less triplets.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
But yeah, no, I think it would have sounded overall the same, but yeah, it could have been a little heavier.
Could have been heavier. Yep. Well, thank you for sending in your question. I might have got another one. Let me check real quick.
We've been waiting for Andrew to come back.
People have been asking about this. Let's see. Okay, let's see.
You definitely got to check out that Linda Carter, though, Andrew. I watched it again.
Sorry, I totally forgot.
It's pretty cool.
Let's see.
She looks really freaking good in it.
She's wearing
the whole Ragnar costume.
Why do I know that name?
That's the transvestite gene from...
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. I knew I got another one. This one's from Brian C.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian C.
Brian C. Now, Brian does this thing where he's really cool because he listens to our shows and then he writes in and like tells us all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to read a little bit of his email because it's awesome. It says, "Okay, I wasn't going to email again, but then I listened to the last episode and must respond to a couple of things. First, on a previous episode, you mentioned how you got more comments on Kiss shirts. That same day, I was wearing a basic black shirt that said Kiss in silver as soon as I walked in the store and immediately got a comment," which we talked about, right?
Right.
You know, that's pretty funny. Second, this is where it gets really good, and I'm going to have to send you guys this picture. And this means something to Jody and I. I can't remember if Andrew knew who we were talking about. But it says, second, this episode you mentioned Fall Guy, and more importantly,
Heather Thomas.
Heather Thomas. I attached a pic of me and Heather when I met her at a car show when I was a kid.
Nice.
And she is fine, dude. She is so fine, that picture. I used to have that poster of her within the pink bikini.
Dude, so did I.
The one where she's like pulling it off her hip.
Oh, yeah.
So wrong. So wrong. You know, anyway.
That and Apollonia were my two favorites.
Oh, I loved Apollonia, too.
When you said Fall Guy, I thought you meant Fall Guy Ford. So do you have a picture of Gerald Ford in a pink bikini?
In a bikini.
Falling out of Air Force One.
Yikes.
That's awesome. All right, third, if you need an Ask Andrew question, here we go.
All right.
Says, have you ever seen a band that totally blew your mind unexpectedly? Now, this isn't a Kiss thing. This is, you know.
Oh, but that's an interesting one.
Yeah. It says, example, at 44, I was just a little too young to have seen the impact of Kiss hitting, and I always wondered what it was like. One day in 98 or so, I went to a club to see a band, Coal Chamber, for the first opener. And he said they were okay. Then the second band was Slipknot.
Oh, yeah, Slipknot's good too.
The entire time, from the moment they started bringing out the keg percussion kits and the nine freaks walked on. Anyway, basically what he's saying was it blew his mind. So you would say who?
Well, I just want to say on a side note, Devil Driver's one of my favorite bands, and Des Fafara is used to, that was his old band, was Coal Chamber, so I got kind of excited for a second there. trying to think. Honestly, I only saw a couple of songs, but when Shinedown opened for Kiss, first I saw the opener, first I just saw, they were opening. I said, let's just go later. But the couple of songs I really dug, so probably them. I know that's pretty anticlimactic, but...
No, that's your pick. That's pretty cool.
Either that or the Metal Masters tour. I didn't know much about Testament, because it was Testament, Motorhead... Heaven and Hell, and Judas Priest. So I was mainly excited because, you know, when you're younger, you're not necessarily into the heavy stuff too much yet.
Right, yeah, you get there.
So, you start off with, the new wave of British heavy metal bands. So then that's what I was looking forward to see. But then, that was my first time seeing, like a thrash band live, and they have some elements of death metal, especially in their recent stuff with Chuck Billy that does guttural. So yeah, probably Testament really took me by surprise. And then I bought the album Formation of Damnation, and to this day it's in my top 10 favorite albums of all time.
Who's playing guitar on that?
Eric Peterson and Alex Skolnick.
Skolnick. Okay, yeah.
But Eric Peterson's rhythm work, I have not found an album that sounds sonically better than his work on that album.
In my opinion. Chuck Billy one time, it was awesome.
He's huge, man.
He's a big, huge
dude. He's 6'5" or something like that.
When I met him, he was actually sitting down. I never got to have him sit there, but even sitting down, he was intimidating.
He's a giant guy, man.
Yeah, I was at this backstage area, and some kid come out of this room and he goes, "Chuck Billy's down there," and he was just sitting in a blocked off area watching Judas Priest play. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
I used to love Testament when I was a kid. I haven't really listened to a lot of them lately, but now that you're talking about it, I might have to go ahead and
Dude, check out the Formation of Damnation. Like, that's one of my favorite albums, and that rhythm tone fucking smokes. I haven't heard anything better.
How's the album with Drover?
With Drover? No, he didn't.
I thought he was a test for a while.
No, I thought that's Gene Hoagland.
I know Sean Drover was playing Bostaff. In Megadeth. And then I thought his brother wound up going to Testament for a while.
Maybe live?
I don't know.
Could be. From what I can tell, it was Paul Bostaff was drumming on Formation, and then he had an injury, and then they got Gene Hoagland in there, who did The Gathering and a few other stuff by Testament. Drover was in Testament. I could be wrong, but I thought it was Bostaff and Hope.
Yeah, I'll look that up. So, Jody, what about you? What name a band that blew your mind the first time you saw them?
Well, actually, probably believe it or not, this was about 10 years ago. This chick that I was dating like wanted me to go to see Celine Dion, right, with her.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not my bag necessarily. But, so I went, you know. And actually, it was pretty awesome, dude. Like, I had never really heard much of her, you know, just like that Titanic song and a couple others. Right. I was really surprised at A, how many songs that I actually knew, and B, like, it was a huge, like, Kiss-esque kind of show, man. Fire, bombs, all that shit. It was cool. And wow. You never in a million years think that I would say Celine Dion, but yeah, that's probably the one.
That's pretty crazy, man.
So most of the times when I go to a show, it's because I'm going there to see something that I already know about, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm going to say, for me, it's the same thing. The one thing that I can sit back and go, I remember, I was laying in bed with this girl I was dating, and she goes, man, I just got this new CD, you need to listen to it. About halfway through the CD, I was like, man, I've never heard of this band before. I was like, I've never heard this music before. Who is this? And she was like, Jane's Addiction. And I was man, I love these guys. I'm about to buy their hair. It was Ritual de la Habitual. So I came to the show late on them.
Right.
But, man, they were really great record. First song all the way to the last. Yeah. You can put that on and just
especially
listen to
that 3 days. That's my show.
3 days is one of the most epic songs ever written. If you guys out there don't know what we're talking about, Jane's Addiction, 3 days. It's probably, about 14 minutes long?
It's a long one.
It's long.
But it's great.
Just put it on and start listening. And, you know, Dave Navarro, oh, man.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah. Goodness, what a great record. Anyway, well, okay, so here's the thing. We can't add any songs in for Jody's Song of the Week anymore.
Yeah.
Because we've been looking at things and realizing that we could get in trouble. And we don't want to get in trouble, and you don't want us to get in trouble, but I will tell you, Jody and I, and if Andrew can join us, that would be even more amazing. We are going to have an online radio show on an online radio station. I wrote them, I told them about us, and they want to throw us on their station. Now, what time we're going to be on, we do not know yet. So, it is either going to be, unless we can move somebody into the time slot, out of the time slot that we want, I'm just going to send Jody, he's going to be like, fucking beat it. take your dollar and fucking beat it. No. If we can get in our spot that we want, the main one, that might be cool. Or, we've even been thinking about doing a lunchtime show, which, you know, while you guys are all at work, you go to lunch, bam, you can jump online and listen to Jody and I, and hopefully Andrew play some music. If Andrew
at lunchtime?
Yeah, you're probably at work, aren't you?
I have half an hour for lunch, so.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that could be part of it, though. We could at lunch.
You could fill us in every day what you're eating for lunch.
It's the same thing every day. It's a bologna sandwich and two Jell-O pudding cups and a bottle of water.
You have the pudding! You eat pudding!
I know I'm gonna
get
anyway, so on the break and eat it for
this is exciting, okay? So, and the coolest thing is while we're on the air, they do have a chat thing so we can sit there and chat. And, you know, and it would be cool because at night we've been getting quite a few listeners. But, you know, you guys are winding down during the day, you know, during the evening from the day. And if we wound up having to do an afternoon show, Jody and I are like, man, I'm game. We'll try anything, right?
Yeah. I'd rather do like a drive time, like 5 to whatever. If we could.
Well, that's possible, too. I'm going to talk to them, and we'll see what we can figure it out. And we'll let you guys know how to find the radio station and everything as soon as...
We need a good radio voice.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have one. I have a face for radio.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was going to say.
Anyway, well, let's see. Jody, you have anything to add?
I'd add, stay tuned for our upcoming radio experiment. And thanks for listening, as usual. And... don't forget, you can always get cool Podcast Rock City merchandise over at redbubble.com. And, yeah, that's enough for today.
Thank you. And if you do, take a picture with it and send us the picture. We love when we get the pictures. Andrew, you got anything to add?
Hope everyone has a good week. Everyone's probably heard by now, but, you know, just keep the family members of those people who passed in that club in your prayers, because that was really heartbreaking to hear.
Right. I will tell you that I do have a cousin that lives in around that area in Gainesville, and he does frequent Orlando, although I knew it was a long shot that he would be at that club because he's not a club guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If he was going to go to that club, he's the kind of person that would go, if you follow me. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately tried to get in touch with him, and I he's fine. He's like, I'm not a club guy, Joe. We're good. I was like, thank goodness. I was really worried about although, you know, the way I just said that, if he was going to, he'd go. To be fair, here in Atlanta, we used to have a place called Backstreets Atlanta, which was a gay club, and I went practically weekly. So I guess that does that stereotypical of me. But, yeah, keep those people in mind, man. This is a terrible thing going on. Just one state.
Sorry
away
to put
from
it
me.
Down or on the show, but
everybody, it's going to be on the news here and where you are and everywhere else for the next few weeks, I'm imagining. Yeah. So keep it is messed up. You
I
want
to say to all those stupid fucking people, quit killing people for no reason. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, quit killing each other. Quit killing anybody. Go. Play some chess or something. Good Lord.
Find a hobby, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, good. Good Lord. Anyway, we love you guys, and we love podcasts. You like how I did that?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we listen to tons of podcasts, and we play their commercials. And you are going to hear them at the end of this show.
And you are going to hear them.
You are going to.
And 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. Bye.
Train wreck.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theory. We bust balls because we care.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podkissed. The Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going no.